Somewhere ahead of them, in darkness absolute and velvet thick, stone moved on stone. "I wonder why this passage was sealed up," said the voice of Blouse.
"I think I've stopped wondering why it was sealed up in such a hurry," said Tonka.
"I wonder who tried to open it," said Polly.
There was a crash of, as it might be, a heavy slab falling off an ornate tomb. It could have been half a dozen other things, but somehow that was the image that sprang to mind. The dead air moved a little.
"I don't want to worry anyone," said Shufti, "but I can hear the sound of sort of feet, sort of dragging."
Polly remembered the man lighting the candles. He'd dropped the bundle of matches into the brass saucer of the candlestick, hadn't he? Moving her hand slowly, she groped for them.
"If you didn't want to worry anyone," came the voice of Tonka from the dry, thick darkness, "why the hell did you just tell us that?"
Polly's fingers found a sliver of wood. She raised it to her nose and sniffed the sulphurous smell.
"I've got one match," she said. "I'm going to strike a light. Everyone try to see a way out. Ready?"
She sidled to the invisible wall. Then she scratched the match down the stone, and yellow light filled the crypt. Someone whimpered. Polly stared, hypnotized. The match went out.
"Okay," said the subdued voice of Tonka. "Walking dead people, so?"
"The one near the archway was the late General Pullover," said Blouse. "I have his book on the art of defence."
"Best not to ask him to autograph it, sir," said Polly as the squad bunched together. There was the whimpering again. It seemed to come from where Polly remembered Wazza standing. She heard her praying. There were no words that she could make out, just a fierce and urgent whispering.
"Maybe these washing sticks can slow them down a bit," Shufti quavered.
"More than being dead already," said Igorina.
"No,"
a voice whispered, and light filled the crypt. It was barely brighter than a glowworm, but a single photon can do a lot of work in chthonic darkness. It rose above the kneeling Wazza until it was woman height, because it was a woman. Or at least it was the shadow of a woman. No, Polly saw, it was the light of a woman. A moving web of lines and highlights in which there came and went, like pictures in a fire, a female shape.
"Soldiers of Borogravia, attention," said Wazza.
And underneath her reedy little tone was a shadow voice, a whisper that filled and refilled the long rooms.
"Soldiers of Borogravia, attention! Soldiers! Soldiers, attention! Soldiers of Borogravia!"
The lurching figures stopped. They hesitated. They shuffled backwards. With a certain amount of clattering and tongueless bickering, they formed two lines. Wazza stood up.
"Follow me," she said.
"Follow me, me."
"Sir," said Polly to Blouse.
"I think we go, don't you?" said the lieutenant, who seemed oblivious of Wazza's activities now that he was in the presence of the military might of the centuries. "Oh, God, there's Major Galosh, and Major General the Lord Canape, General Anorak. I've read everything he wrote. I never thought I'd see him in the flesh."
"Partly flesh, sir," said Polly, dragging him forward.
"Every great commander of the last 500 years was buried here, Perks."
"I'm very pleased for you, sir. If we could just move a little faster."
"It is my fondest hope that I'll spend the rest of eternity here, you know."
"Wonderful, sir, but not starting today. Can we catch up with the rest of them, sir?" As they passed, hand after ragged hand was raised in jerky salute. Staring eyes gleamed in hollow faces. The strange light glistened on dusty braid and stained, faded cloth. And there was a noise, harsher than the whispering, deep and guttural. It sounded like the creaking of distant doors, but individual voices rose and fell as the squad passed the dead figures.
"Death to Slovenia! Get them! Remember! Give them hell! Vengeance! Remember! They're not human! Avenge us! Revenge!"
Up ahead, Wazza had reached some high wooden doors. They swung open at her touch. Polly hurried after her. The lights travelled with her, and the squad were on her heels. To be too far behind was to be in the dark.
"Couldn't I just ask Major General—" Blouse began, dragging on Polly's hand.
"No, you can't. Don't dawdle. Come on," Polly commanded.
They reached the doors, which Tonka and Igorina slammed behind them. Polly leaned against the wall.
"I think that was the most
"Most amazing moment of my life," said Blouse as the boom died away.